الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم When you want to separate something, it's common for people to use something called a filter in order to try to separate things into as pure a mixture as possible. So for example, I mean, everybody does this every day or all the time in different ways, like you're cooking spaghetti and you're boiling spaghetti in a pot. And at the end of 7 minutes, 9 minutes, whatever, you know, time you use, eventually you have to separate the water from the spaghetti. So you use a strainer, which is like basically a type of filter. And the idea is that you take the spaghetti in the pot, you dump it in the strainer. The strainer filters the actual pieces of spaghetti from the water, and eventually the water comes out, and you're left with just the spaghetti noodles. But if you look at that filter, you'll see that it's not 100%. In fact, there's no 100% filters in this life, in this world. So for example, when you take spaghetti and you pour the pot and over the strainer, what ends up happening is that the vast majority of the water comes out, but there's still water all over the spaghetti. And, you know, people sit there and shake it up and down and up and down and keep trying. Drips keep falling out, but you're not able to remove all the water completely. Another example, you know, there's these filters, which nowadays people are using when they drink water. And whether you have a refrigerator, which has a filter built into it, or nowadays, like a new thing is that people will put these separate taps as water filters. So you have a hot water, cold water, and then there's a water filter tap. And what happens is underneath the sink, there's a very big filter that is designed to last for several months. And what it does is it removes the impurities, it removes the particles, the quote unquote impure particles from the water. Now, those filters, they're designed to remove this much of this, this much of that, this much of this, this much of that. But even when you read the label for the filter, it makes it very clear that it's not 100%. So it'll say removes 99.99% of particles when it passes through this filter. And 99.99%, you know, maybe close to 100, but it's certainly not 100. And in the context of the number of billions of particles that are present in water, you're still left with parts per million, you know, of particles within water. So that's another example of a filter. HEPA filters, high efficiency particulate air filters. HEPA, they call it HEPA. Everybody just sort of gives it the abbreviation of HEPA. So HEPA filters are air filters, and you'll see that if you have a nice vacuum cleaner. Then nice vacuum cleaners come with what's called a HEPA filter, because obviously air is coming through the vacuum, and not only do you want to purify what's on the ground, but you're also making sure that it doesn't go up in the air and come out the other side of the vacuum. So that's another example. Now there's so many filters, and in science, people are always creating filters. You know, just as an example, you know, many years ago there was a famous filter that was created where you could take a cell, you could smash up the cell, and then you could filter out the contents of the cell so that only the DNA remained. So it was just a, you know, filter based on charge and size. which allowed you to be able to take all of the complex molecules, get rid of them, and you would do an elution wash and then another wash and then another wash. And eventually what would happen is you would be left with just a little bit of DNA present within the tube, and you could take that DNA and you could sequence it or you could amplify it, whatever you wanted to do. So there's so many brilliant filters that have been designed historically, but none of them are 100%. Even in the case of the DNA filters, there's some DNA that's lost. There's some particulate matter that's gained. They're just can never be perfect. There is no perfect filter. But there's one filter that is absolutely perfect. There's one filter that's absolutely 1,000% perfect. It does not let a single molecule pass that's not supposed to pass through. One filter that is so perfect that it does not even let one molecule that's not supposed to pass through. And that filter is called death. That filter is called death. It's the most amazing filter. Because when a person dies, nothing from this world can be taken with them. There is nothing, not one molecule, that a person can take from this life and bring it with them to the next. It's just amazing. Not one relationship can be carried from this life to the next. Not one penny can be taken from this life to the next. Not one breath of air, not one molecule of water, nothing. Nothing from this life can pass through the filter of death, except a person. And not even their body, actually, just their soul. I mean, none of this body can pass through that filter of death. Just their soul and what they earned. SubhanAllah, that is something that, you know, we don't reflect enough upon. That's the reality of who we are. We can't, you know, we get confused in the sort of everyday run of life to think that, you know, this is important and that's important and this is important and that's important and this is going to benefit me and that's going to benefit me. But we have to put everything in one important context. And that context is that we are going to go through a filter, and that filter is so perfect that we will take none of this world with us except our deeds. Now, that's important for us to recognize, because if we don't appreciate that, then we completely lose sight of what we're aiming for. We completely lose sight of what we're aiming for. You know, how many people in this life get caught up in this, what they want to purchase, or what they want to buy, or what they want to wear, or who they want to be, or what people think of them, or how people react to them. But we can't take any of that. It doesn't matter. I mean, honestly, look, just think about it. I mean, the reality is, wherever we live, we cannot take it with us to the next life. We cannot. It's just not possible. There's no person in the history of mankind that has ever been able to escape that filter. No matter what our bank balance is, we cannot take it with us to the next world. There's no person that has ever taken anything with them from this life to the next life. No matter what food we eat, no matter who our friends are, no matter how popular we are, no matter whether things have gone our way or haven't gone our way in life, none of those things are going to matter. And it's really important for us to recognize that there's no escape from this filter. It's not like, well, if I have $1 million, I can take one with me, or I can take five with me, or, you know, there's some 0.0005% escape from this filter. It's zero. It's zero. A billionaire will not take a penny. A billionaire will not be able to take a penny. So that's a really important milestone for us. Now, you know, it's like people who recognize when these types of filters are present, you know, they act completely differently. Like, for example, you know, like, I don't know, an NBA. Everybody's into the NBA. The NBA, they say, like, there's like the first season, right, where the team sort of jockey for position. And then they say there's a second season. And the second season is the only thing that matters, because you have to just get into the playoffs. And once you get into the playoffs, you have to save all your energy, you know, in order to try to win in the playoffs. So, I mean, we have a second season, but it's, you know, even completely different than that, which is that we cross from this life, we leave this life, and then we come into the hereafter. And it's in the hereafter that everything actually matters. So, like, where is our energy going? I mean, these are the questions that we should ask ourselves. Now, what doesn't pass through the filter? Everything that everybody deems to be relatively important in this day and age. If you just stop people on the corner of the street and said, "What's important in life?" They'll say, "My bank balance is important. My job is important. My degree is important. My relationships are important. My diet's important. My this is important. My home is important." All of that doesn't pass through. But at the same time, what does pass through is our deeds. That's the only thing that's passed through, but it's by design. It's not due to inefficiency of the filter, as opposed to all the other filters that we talked about. Our deeds are the only thing that pass through. How we react at every particular instance, that's all that matters. How we handle the neighbor and the relatives and our honesty and our character, and these are the things that actually pass through that filter. So, like, you know, we have to think about these in perspective. You know, maybe I can make a deal with someone and I can get an advantage over them. Maybe I make a deal and I, you know, trick the painter and I pay him less than he's due. You know, and I know that he should be paid a certain amount, but I pay him less than he's due, and I somehow gain something, and I feel really like I'm really big. I really got a great deal because I got this job done in half the price, and the guy didn't realize it, but I was managed to trick him, and, you know, I got this job done. Well, how does that benefit me? Because the only thing that's going to pass through the filter is my intention and the fact that I was trying to deceive someone, and everything else is going to be left behind, the paint job, the house, and somebody else will benefit from that until they pass through that filter. So it's very important for the Muslim to place everything in context of that filter. Everything in context of that filter, which means that, look, when I earn a certain amount, so I earn an X amount of dollars, I'm taking none of that through. The only thing that's coming with me through that filter is actually the amount that I spend on someone else or spend on something else. That's the only amount that actually remains. It's completely opposite to what's outwardly evident. You would think that if I have $1,000 and I donated $500 and I kept $500, that I have $500. No. You have $500 before you cross the filter. But actually, the $500 that you gave is what you get when you get on the other side of the filter. So what matters? What matters is the filter. That's important for people to be able to recognize. When I have a relationship with someone and I interact with them in a certain way, if I get the upper hand, that doesn't ever benefit me. Maybe. It can appear that I would get a benefit for 10 years, 20 years. I may appear to have the upper hand. But the moment that I cross through that filter, I'm left with myself and my own reality. Nothing else matters. My degree doesn't matter. What people thought of me doesn't matter. How popular I was doesn't matter. All that matters is what comes on the other side of that filter. So that's, for a Muslim, that is one of the biggest blessings that exists in our life. That we've been reminded of the reality of that filter. That's what Quran and Hadith establishes for us, that there is a time when everybody passes through this world, they will cross that filter. When they get to the other side, then they see that nothing crossed through that filter. Now what happens? You know, the first thing that happens, it's in the Quran, the first thing that happens when a person crosses that filter, they say, "I wish I could go back. And what would I do? I would give sadaqah." Why would I give sadaqah? Because now I see that the only thing that crossed the filter was my sadaqah. What apparently appeared to be a decrease was actually the increase. And what appeared to be an increase was left behind. That's because they awakened to the reality of the filter. Now, the beauty of it is that the Quran has already established that for us by telling us that the person who goes through the filter feels this way at the end. So we don't have to, what a loss. Just think about it, what a loss. If the whole life somebody spends collecting all of these things, whether it be popularity or fame or, you know, a style or a lifestyle or a bank account, they collect all of these, you know, things in a bucket, which they deem to be important, And then all of a sudden, when they die, they recognize that nothing crosses through that filter because everything cannot get through it except the few good deeds that they did. Then what a regret. What a regret on that day for the person who crosses over and they only see that I was able to take that which I thought I wouldn't be able to take. That which I thought which I was going to take didn't come with me. So what does a person complain about? The person says, now I wish that I could go back and give sadaqah. But the beauty of our deen, it's already told us of that circumstance. You know, imagine if somebody died and could come back to you and say, you know, let me just tell you something. Somebody dies, comes back to you and says, give me one piece of advice, brother. SubhanAllah, you're the first person that ever came back from death. Give me one piece of advice. What would they say to you? They would say, all that matters is what you take to the other side. Give as much as you can. Follow, you know, do as much good as you can. But we've already been told that. We don't need that to happen. You know, it's like we make these crazy wishes as if like they're going to make some difference. I wish I lived at the time of the Sahaba. It's already there. It's already written. You know what we need. We know what we need to do. We have to be very clear in our mind because the deen is already established in our mind. And this is the greatest gift of deen. It establishes realities when it's not too late to recognize that they're realities. It removes confusion. It removes confusion at a time when there's so much, you know, cloud. There's so much cloudiness. It shows us light. We should be abundantly clear about the fact that all of us are passing through death, and the only thing that we take to the other side are the things that we have given for the sake of Allah. Whether that be our time, whether that be our deeds, whether that be the relationships that we had, whether that be the sadaqah that we gave, that's all that matters. That's all that matters, and everything else gets left behind. And the funny thing is, it gets left behind, it falls away, and a bunch of people from behind come and pick it up, and they start thinking that it's just as valuable. It's the deception of this life. Everybody's chasing after, you know, it's like a game. There's all these little balls, and one's green, one's pink, one's blue, and somehow we created this notion that the person who has more balls in their buckets wins the game. And then as soon as somebody dies, they cross over, and their bucket falls, and the balls go all over the place, and everybody's trying to grab them. Everybody's trying to grab them. And now everybody feels so happy because they have the balls in their bucket. But every person that crosses can never take the balls with them to the other side. It's such a simple game. It's such a simple game. It's just basically a game. And all that ends up getting taken is the good deeds that we do, is the account that we create for ourselves. So it's like, you know, like what are we thinking? Like we should put everything in context. And this context, this is what dhikr aims to achieve. When a person does dhikr and they begin to have remembrance of death and the akhirah, which is a type of dhikr, or they have remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is basically the ultimate type of dhikr, what that does is that informs them of reality. That informs them of reality, and the sign of that is that it completely changes the way they behave with others. Now if somebody wants to say something petty to them, it doesn't matter. Because they know that the high road is what actually results in benefit when you cross the filter. It doesn't matter how somebody, you know, what somebody has or what somebody possesses or, you know, how advanced they appear to be. Because it doesn't matter because it has to go through that filter. And you know, being a scientist of deen, that those molecules can never cross that filter. That's the beauty of knowledge. That is knowledge. That none of that can cross that filter. So what we should be doing in this world, we should be clear, and we have been given this information, and we should be abundantly clear that everything should be decided in the context of that filter. When I have time, I should spend it amassing things that actually cross that filter. When I have wealth, I should spend it earning things that will cross that filter. When I have energy, I should use it applying myself to things that will cross that filter. Everything else doesn't matter because everything else gets left behind. And there's no escape. How many people have come before? They all go through this filter. No, the filter is so unique that it doesn't allow anyone to escape, and it doesn't allow any molecule not designed to cross through. There's no person on the planet can raise their hand and say, I've lived 1,000 years. No one can escape. And there's no person that will be able to say, once we cross that filter, that I took something with me from this world that wasn't supposed to be there. We've been given the warning. We are the most blessed people on the planet. You know, when the bubble pops, or when, like they say, when the, you know, when the punch bowl is empty, everybody is left wondering. You know, we've been given this forewarning. We should leverage it. We should leverage it, and we should make very clear what our goals are, how we behave with one another, how we behave with others, how we use our time, what we actually spend, you know, who we make relationships with. The reading of any news every day, it doesn't cross the filter. Doesn't matter how much you know about the politics of Pakistan or the intricacies of the economy or the, you know, the highest yielding stock in the stock market. None of that matters. It doesn't cross the filter. But if a person recognizes, you know, this much sadaqah will earn me this, every letter of Quran earns me 10 rewards, you know, that, what does that mean? Every letter of Quran recited, you take 10 pieces of it with you through the filter. It shows up on the other side. It results in a benefit. So, you know, I mean, look, just reading, you just asked the question, what can I read that will cross the filter? I can read a novel. I could read a short story. I could read the day's news. I could read The Economist. I could read literature. Now, there's some of those things that are beneficial because they inform you to make decisions that are relative to deen. That's okay. But the vast majority of what somebody reads never crosses the filter. Never crosses the filter. But the other option is I could read Quran. I could use my tongue to do dhikr. I could read knowledge of deen so that I can better understand what's relevant and what's irrelevant, because that's actually basically what knowledge of deen is. And all of that crosses the filter. All of that shows up on the other side. And the beauty of those things is that those deeds can never be taken from anyone. You know, what's present in this life will always be taken from someone. Respect comes and goes. Wealth comes and goes. Knowledge comes and goes. Relationships come and go. In this life itself, they come and go. Anyone can take them at any time. Honor, anybody can take anybody's honor at any time. But what we keep with us that actually passes through the filter, no one can ever take it in this life. No one can ever take it in the hereafter. You know, somebody recites one letter of Quran and receives 10 rewards. Nobody can take it from us. Nobody can take it from us. Yeah, shaitan can deceive us into marring the beauty of it, but no one can take it from us. That's the other benefit of the things that don't cross that actually cross the filter, is that they're ours. Somebody gives $1,000 in sadaqah, no one can ever take that benefit from us. And then we see it on the other end. So this is the reality of our existence, and this is one of the angles that is highlighted in our deen. When a person begins to do dhikr and they begin to remember Allah and they begin to remember the akhirah, one of the signs of the people of dhikr is that they give preference to the hereafter over this life. They give preference to the things that matter over the things that are mundane. They give preference to the relevant over the irrelevant. And what defines relevant and irrelevant and mundane and what matters and this life and the next is all established by deen. So we should awaken to those things so that we make the appropriate decisions now so that they create a happy life for us in the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who are able to recognize the reality of the filter that we're so close to passing through. May He make us amongst those who are abundant in our deeds. May He make us among those who are consistent in our sadaqah. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.